Hey, everybody. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to be moderating today's panel discussion on how text messaging can boost your recovery rates and save you money. Text messaging is becoming a more popular tool for companies in the credit collection industry. Most consumers today have a smartphone, and many of them rely on text messaging as their primary form of communication. In this webinar, a panel of leading experts from the accounts receivable management industry are with us to share their insights into how deploying a text message communication strategy can help companies boost their contact and collection rates. This webinar is being generously sponsored by Solutions by Text. You'll get the chance to hear about them a little later in our program. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for individuals in the credit and collection space. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day to get what it has to offer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Rick Bonitzer presides over Credit Collection Partners, a collection agency specializing in collecting government debt that is located in central Illinois. CCP has grown from 4 collectors when Rick joined the company to having 4 times as many now. CCP is also in the process of rolling out health insurance benefits to its staff. Rick, who earned a BS in Business Administration from Columbia College of Missouri, is married with 3 kids. Bob Davis is the Vice President of Servicing Operations for Time Payment, a microfinancial commercial leasing company located in Burlington, Massachusetts. Time Payment has approximately $40 million in outstanding loans and are in the process of a full servicing transformation. Bob joined last May as an executive advisor. He has worked in the financial services industry since 1978 at companies such as Toyota Financial Services, Wells Fargo Dealer Services, and Security National Automotive Acceptance Company. Raja Jetta is the head of deliverability at True Accord. As part of the product and UX team, Raja leads strategic projects, programs, and initiatives that optimize True Accord's digital communication strategies, including email and SMS. Raja has over a decade of experience in the digital communication space with an emphasis on email operations and deliverability. Matt Kiefer is the Chief Officer for Information Development and Compliance for the Preferred Group of Tampa. He is a past president and current vice president again and education chair of the Florida Collectors Association. He served on the board of the National Healthcare Collections Association, was a member of HFMA and MGMA, and is also an ACA scholar and fellow. He has been in healthcare and collections since 2001. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we will get to them when the discussion has concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available later today on accountsrecovery.net. As well, I just wanted to ask everybody to take a minute and fill out the survey that should pop up in your screen when the webinar is over today. You'll also receive a link to access the survey tomorrow via email. Participating in the survey helps me develop content that's what you're looking for and to find the speakers you want to hear from. With that, I conclude my introductory remarks and the housekeeping items, and we can jump into today's discussion. First, I'd like to maybe approach the conversation from the perspective of the consumers. Curious to hear how each of you see consumers responding to the idea of using text messaging to communicate with a collector. Rick, would you mind kicking us off?
Yeah, sounds great. What an exciting topic here. I think folks in today's society really want to communicate by text, to be honest with you. I think text has leapfrogged email, to be honest with you, in preferred communication. We use it in a very limited capacity right now here in our call center, probably only sending maybe 100 texts out a day, which is probably a micro fraction of some of my other panelists. But we are, we are sending texts out for payment reminders, transaction payment receipts, and things like that. So you'll save money in those types of interactions. But instead of traditional snail mail letters. But it's been very well received. I spoke with a couple agents right before this phone call, and they're sending out text on demand all day, every day, when trying to get back in touch with consumers. let's just say a broken payment plan or a promise to pay or something like that, text is very useful in getting them, you know, back on track.
This is Matt. I'll add to what Rick said. We started off in a very limited fashion, and the response was very positive. Basically, our keyword just leads to our payment portal. So that's what we were doing initially. It was very successful. I mean, it started off with, you know, 10 a month, then 20, and then so on and so forth. It's grown. But as we advertise that method or our keyword and put that in our letters, our collectors are using it in their talk off and, you know, on your website as well. Like Rick said, I think especially among the millennials, that's the preferred way to contact a debt collector now, is they don't want to speak to an agent. They want to just handle it on their own 24/7. And the other thing that we have been doing is looking at the clients that we have consent to call a cell phone in a guarantor agreement. We've been running a few campaigns just to measure the results on our dialer system and texting using that. So it's the same thing, basically payment portal link, and we limit it to the number of texts that we send out unless the patient wants to engage that way. Then we ask them for their email, and then we'll send them email like correspondence. We have no method right now of sending anything other than our payment portal link to a patient right now.
Yep. Hey, I just want to piggyback on that too, Matt. That's fantastic. I love that. You know, the whole idea of smart letters, quote unquote, you got to have, when you're sending out letters, I love the idea of loading that up with modern ways for them to respond back. You know, we have a little bubble that says text us, text the keyword, you know, CCP to our short code, and that opts them in. You got to capture that opt-in event. Very important, I think, from a compliance standpoint. But I like that as well.
I mean, yeah, this is Bob Davis. Oh, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sorry, Bob. I mean, for me, you guys have said some great things. For us, you know, we listen to our consumers, and for them, it is ease, you know, over at times with calls and emails. You know, sometimes they don't even check their emails, and it's nice to have those payment reminders, or say they didn't get their IDLs, and boom, our agents can just text them the IDLs. So for us, that was kind of what, you know, why we went towards texting, is that, you know, we listen to the consumers and this is what they are trying to prefer.
Yeah, this is Bob Davis. I mean, I used Solutions by Text at my last organization, Security National Auto Acceptance. We were a subprime lender focused on the military. So when you're dealing with military personnel, they're deployed anywhere within the United States or out of country. And so what we found, based on our loan agreements, having the ability, they opted in when they signed with us, they opted in through our process of booking. We started using Solutions by Text as first a reminder of just reminding the customer of a payment upcoming. So we would send it out 10 days before the payment was due, just remind them about the payment, linking them to our portal for self-payment. And then we used it through contact through our collection process. And through our text messaging, we saw an increase of self-service by 32% of customers going to the portal making either delinquent or current payments before they're even their due date. Because with the military, it was a preferred way of contacting them because of their deployment and because of their limited access.
Bob, I want to piggyback off that. That was great. I love the idea of sending the link inside the text message. Our software partner in our call center is InterPros, right? And I also use Solutions by Text, and they've got I think something called Smart Link, and basically my agents are able to send a single sign-on text to these consumers, and that has helped out tremendously, because you send a text with your payment portal in there, that's terrific, but as we all know, a lot of people can't get past the login page for whatever reason, last name changed, or they got their DOB wrong, or zip code or something, and you lose them there. So having the ability to send a smart link or a single sign-on link inside the text message has been fantastic for us.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'd use that when we were first contacting our customer via text, so that way they could actually sign into the portal and use that process. And as you mentioned before, we did not use text messaging as a conversational tool. If the customer responded with a question, we would either convert them to email or we would convert it to a phone call to make sure that we had the right information for the customer. And we used templates in our text messaging. It wasn't a free form. We have specific text messaging templates, having worked with the CFPB because we were a military lender. We dealt heavily with them. But we also treated our text messaging like a phone call. 3 years ago, we treated just like you would make a phone call to follow the rules of FDCPA and TCPA. So that way we would not run into any issues.
Yeah, agreed. SBT has been a terrific partner for us as well, staying in compliance with with CFPB guidelines and stuff like that, giving folks easy opt out in every text message and an appropriate language, you know, to use in each text message language, and the ability for my agents to send texts that are in template form, not free form, form as well. Yeah, all that's terrific. Best practice, I think.
Excellent. Off to an awesome start. Really looking forward to continuing to dive in. Curious, how, you know, I guess it's a subjective question, and I'll ask it subjectively, but sort of hope for, you know, sort of an objective answer, sort of relative to other types of communication, letters, phone calls, emails, direct drop voicemail, carrier pigeons, whatever you're seeing collection agencies use or whatever you're using yourself, how important do you think having text messages is to a company's omni-channel communications platform? You know, maybe sort of instead of just saying very important or not very important, maybe try and rank, you know, sort of where text messaging is today and how you see that trending sort of over the next maybe 6 to 12 months. Raja, would you like to kick us off on that one?
Sure. In my thoughts, I'll say that, you know, first, phone calls are becoming less and less effective to communicate with consumers. And is that going to get any better with the call caps happening? So for us, what we've, you know, kind of, you know, started going towards is what are all the other options? I mean, we want to give the consumers that, do they want email, do they want phone? And as, you know, everyone else in the panels have discussed, text messaging gives a lot of that ease, you know, to have that quick message. Like, you know, like for us at least, it was regarding the IDLs where, you know, they just, you know, it was lost in their huge mailbox. Boom, we can send them a text message, and now they have it right there, the link to it. So it's just kind of having that extra channel for communication and giving user full control, of what they need and what, you know, like how their day-to-day communication style is.
I would agree with that. And this is Bob Davis again. You know, we used ringless voicemail. We had email, we had phone, we had text. We started to use chat. So we had all these varied contact levels because of the type of clientele we have. And we had a snack. And I think what we found is we started collecting what the customer's preference was. So that way, when the account was coming up, either into delinquency or coming up due, we had that point of what was their preference. Did they prefer text, whatever the case might be? But we started seeing, especially with that snack with the military and the millennial side, we started seeing text was the most frequent used application for contact. Now, here where I'm at, the company I'm at now, which is time payment, I'm sorry, it was a SMIC. We have $400 million outstanding, but we're a commercial microfinancial leasing company. We're finding I'm finding a distinct difference between commercial and consumer. So with the commercial side, I'm finding more of an email, voicemail, phone call versus texting because of just the type of application or the type of leases that we have here. So it's an interesting dynamic of change just in the type of company that I'm working for and the type of business that we're doing.
This is Matt. I'll agree with all of that. I think it's going to be not only the fastest growing channel, but I think that's going to also be dependent on what our regulators are doing. You know, our friends at the CFPB and the FCC, as long as the proposed rule goes as, you know, it seems that it may be going that way, I think it's going to be, you know, an awesome opportunity for us to not only save money, but reach consumers in the preferred method and the least obtrusive method that they prefer.
Yeah, Rick. This is Rick.
Go ahead.
Yep. I don't have a whole lot to add. I think the panel is pretty much on the same page right there. I think traditional outbound call centers is still where the majority of revenue is likely being generated, but it's diminishing. It's fastly, I think it's growing in other channel directions pretty quickly, maybe not as quickly as others might think, but definitely trending in that direction. And I think you just got to have it available. It's headed in that direction. If any of the audience doesn't have this solution in place, it's got to be on the radar for implementation in the near future, even in an extremely conservative manner. I think you can't ignore it at all.
I would completely agree. At this point, I just want to pause the discussion briefly and say a few words about the sponsor for today's webinar, Solutions by Text. Solutions by Text, or SBT, is a division of Marketing Response Solutions, LLC, a privately held corporation whose primary focus is delivering critical information in an SMS format worldwide. SBT has developed a proprietary software designed to adhere to regulations within the mobile phone industry. Solutions by Text strives to develop a scalable solution with flexibility to meet industry changes in demand, maintain a functional user interface with various user access options, build products delivering a clear, consistent value, and construct a suite of services matching the demands of the consumer. For more than 25 years, SBT has partnered with a variety of organizations in multiple industries to design and implement a diverse SMS solution. SBT customizes a suite of services to meet client requirements and maintain ease of use. For more information, please visit www.solutionsbytext.com. Thanks again to Solutions by Text for sponsoring today's webinar. I'm curious, Bob, I wanted to circle back to something you said when you mentioned the sort of text becoming the most frequent form of communication. Do you have any sense as to why that is? I mean, is it mainly just the convenience because everyone's got their phone on them at all times? Or is there some other reason why you think texting is becoming so popular? And I'm asking because I'm curious if it would offer if the answer would offer any insight into sort of what the consumer demand or consumer preference for communication is going to be sort of going forward.
Well, I think in the organization that we use Solutions by Text at SNAC, because we were a military, our niche was military, you have millennials, and it's consumer based. It was unique for us because with military, as I said before, they can be stationed anywhere within the US or out of country. So we found that by text, and I think it was mentioned earlier, with an email, it got lost. It would get lost in the massive emails they received from anyone. But with text messaging, it was, in our mind, an intrusive way of just contacting that customer and letting them know. And so we found it very popular. We found it probably one of our number one opportunities. The other piece was that we started gathering this information from our customers. What is their preference? Would we be contacting them? Would we be contacting someone else on the loan itself? Would we be contacting a third party? And because the range of military was from 19 to 25 to 26 years old, I can give you an example. My son and I can have a conversation for 5 minutes on the phone, but we can text each other for 2 hours. Because that's his preferred method of talking. So we found that if you know your customer, you take the time to understand your customer, what they're looking for, which has been said by some of the other panelists, you'll find that, again, is that their preference. Now, again, I mentioned, now I'm at a different type of company. I'm at a commercial leasing company. We do have some personal guarantors and we do have some consumers. But with the commercial side, it's not as prevalent because of just the type of business and what's being run. So again, it's unique to your business, but it's also unique to your customer.
Got it. Thanks. Does anybody else want to share their perspective on why they think text is becoming so popular and what implication that's going to have for communication preferences and trends down the line?
Mike, I don't really have a whole lot to add to that. I would just say that it's important that the company track that, though, believe it or not. Storing preferred contact method probably didn't exist in call center software, collection software, 10 years ago, or in legacy systems, I'll call it. But it's certainly important to start tracking that. Even if you don't plan to take action on the data, you know, today or tomorrow, start tracking it now. So when you do plan to, you know, include that into your workflow, you've got that data readily available.
That's an excellent point. How can you talk a little bit about how that data, are you using it, how it's impacting your contact strategy and your campaigns?
Not quite yet. I just started storing that in our office here a few months back. Haven't integrated that into workflow, but quite yet. But I've got visions for it. I'm totally curious if any other panelists are storing preferred contact method and using that in their workflow.
Raj, is that something you're doing at TrueAccord?
I mean, we are. Yeah, definitely. You know, for us, we like to have that ability to know exactly what they prefer. So yes, we do store that information. Is if they prefer to be contacted via email, then we make sure that we continue that. If they want to get all their major communications, say payment reminders, or if they their IDLs, etc., all via text, then we'll do that. Or if they simply want phone. So yes, we want to make sure that whatever their choice of contact, how they want to be communicated to, and that we satisfy that. So definitely, we do store that.
Yeah, and that's interesting though. This is Rick again. You know, if they say, "Yep, contact me by text. Text is my preferred method of communication," you know, and they set up a payment plan and they fall through on that. We text them, nothing. Text them again, nothing. Text them again, nothing. I mean, at some point in time, you're going to have to reengage those other channels: phone call, email, snail mail, letter, etc. So it'll be interesting to see. Kind of how all that works together.
We've got a couple of questions that have come in from the audience, and it's a good opportunity for me to remind everybody, if you have a question for the panelists, type it into the Q&A button or Q&A panel on your Zoom webinar control panel. The question is, how do your companies make sure you have good phone numbers or verify the numbers and keep them up to date so potentially sensitive information does not go to the wrong person?
We have in the past, what we've done is we've actually done scrubs through our cell phones. So using Accurint or some other facets such as that, we've actually scrubbed our cell phones to validate information. And also what we did is we would send out information to customers, not via text. We would verify their cell phones on every single phone call, verify their email address on every single phone call of any type of contact. We would also send out letters to them, just asking them, we're trying to update information to keep our profiles updated for their benefit, information that we could supply to them, and asking them to just validate the information on board by calling into my customer service department.
This is Matt. I'll add to that. That's why we started out in a very limited way with the consumer, the patient, proactively sending the text message or the typing the keyword in and sending it to us rather than us to them. But like I said, we have done some limited campaigns with our dialer, but that's only where we have express consent to call a cell. And that's why we would only limit it to basically a single or maybe a second text campaign as new accounts come in. And until there's more regulation or more settled law or the final rule comes out, that's why we will, basically keep it in a limited yet very conservative type of communication preference for us.
And this is Rick. I agree with Matt. We've rolled ours out in that limited fashion, and that we're verifying the accuracy of that phone number with that consumer on the phone only. And generally, those are the only folks that we're texting.
To add same thing, our call centers, we make sure that the phone number that we have on file, that it is their correct one. So when we do text message, that it's it's confirmed and that we have consent.
Yeah, one last thing I'll add just is, go ahead, sir.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Rick.
This is Bob. One of the things we used to do also, we used a ringless voicemail process. So we would also take cross-reference that phone number to our text messaging. So for the consumer, if we got a ringless voicemail reply saying that it was a landline, it was an invalid number, whatever the case might be, we would cross-reference that result to our text, to our customer's profile, which would then also separate from text messaging, because we already verified through the ringless voicemail and through the actual carrier of that phone number that it was not a valid cell phone or it was not something that was in place.
Yeah, and on those ringless voicemails, Bob, I've included in my ringless voicemail messages the ability to text back as well. We've had some pretty good success with that too.
No, I agree. We did the same thing. It worked extremely well.
This is Matt. I'm just curious, do any of y'all use companies like Neustar to verify that the owner of the cell phone is the one, the current, number you're calling, that your patient or consumer still owns that number? I'm just curious.
I've got initial discussions with Neustar, Matt. Very interesting, compelling organization right there.
Yeah.
Especially with their status amongst carriers, it seems they're very entrenched, I'll say, with all of the major, or not all, many of, or most of the major carriers. So they're positioned very well to provide a solution for what we're talking about here. You know, phone number identity and stuff like that.
Yeah, and if the FCC would come out with some final rules and guidance with their database, and then hopefully the access will be competitive, because everybody knows if you only have one player in the market, the price is whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to have some competition out there.
I've got a question that came in, and it's sort of a question I wanted to ask you and follow up with you, Matt. With regards to consent, do you handle consent to call somebody on their cell phone differently than you handle consent to send them a text message? Do you consider that separate, or is that sort of under the same consent?
I keep it as the same, because a cell phone is a cell phone, and the idea is it's ultimately going to come down to the regulators stating that, SMS is going to be treated the same way as if you called the cell or did it ringless, voicemail or whatever. It's just, depending on what jurisdiction you're in, you get different rulings. So I'm treating it the same. If I have cell phone permission in the guarantor agreement or the original contract or whatever, we're treating it as if I can call that cell phone using an ATDS, or I can SMS that cell phone using texting solution. So I'm treating it the same.
Agreed. This is Rick. I haven't seen anything that would make me think the contrary.
And I would agree. That's we verified it through that same process.
Excellent. Love it when everyone's on the same page. How do you address third-party disclosure risk in texting? Are there concerns? Are there steps that a company can take? Does anyone want to tackle that one?
This is Matt. We limit ours. So if we're proactively going to send out a campaign, because I do have cell phone consent, we don't know if that cell phone consent has been revoked. We're depending on the client to let us know, or they've, called us or written us and said, you don't have permission. And then we have a Boolean box that we would check saying, it's been revoked, and we can prevent campaigns from calling out that number by excluding those accounts, but also limiting your exposure, I think, on if you're going to do something proactively and send out a text message. I wouldn't want to be on the short end of the stick where, you blasted 100 messages to the wrong number. Even if the person didn't say stop or anything like that, I've seen some weird opt-out messages. And, most systems, I think some of the courts are saying, you went outside of what you should have done. You should have just typed STOP instead of stop with the messages or whatever they put in there. But I'm going to stay on the conservative end of this one and limit my exposure.
Yeah, this is Rick. If you handle it okay on the front end and you capture that opt-in, either you get it from your client or from one of your agents in the call center, I think that helps you know, hedge a lot of this risk we're talking about here, this third party disclosure risk, and just make sure your core system can handle all of these variables. They got consent. Who'd you get consent from? Was it revoked? When was it revoked? If all those things can be stored in your system and you use technology responsibly, I think you're going to be fine.
Excellent. I'm curious, we've talked sort of generally about response rates, but I'm curious if you could talk maybe a little bit more specifically about the kind of response rates you have on text messages compared with letters, phone calls, emails, or other forms of communication. Roger, would you mind sharing some? Is there anything you can share on that?
For response rates, we're still getting more data on that, but I would say, we've seen some click-through rates in excess around like 60%, but it's hard to compare to letters. That's the problem, because we don't get that feedback. So for me, at least in a high level, we've definitely seen like our click-through from text messages, they do seem to perform a lot better than say us calling them or us sending letters, since the letters again are tough because we don't have any data on any data on that specifically. But yeah, that's, I don't have too much to share on that. Sorry.
This is Matt. I'll just say, we have so many different methods that you can pay, and we put the text messaging, the keyword, on our website, on our letters. Our agents are saying it on the phone when they're talking to people. It's really hard to measure because it's going to our payment portal. So we have a virtual agent, you know, the avatar, they might have interacted through our webpage or got the text message from us, or they might have just gotten the information off our letter. So based on all these different flows of, you know, where a patient has the ability to pay you, for us, it's kind of hard to measure. Plus, we're doing some other stuff with IVR as well. So,
yeah, this is Bob Davis. When we started using text messages at Snack, one of the things we wanted to see is what the rate of return would be. So we stopped sending letters unless it was required, through any type of litigation or from a legal perspective. What we did on text messaging, we just simply started by sending customers a reminder of their payment, of when their payment was coming due. As I said before, either 10 days prior or 5 days prior. We then knew the customer's payment behavior. So we were able to look at when the customer last paid over the last 6 months, what was their timing. And then I started looking at, did the customer pay within so many days of getting the text? So if I sent the text on the Monday, did they pay within 72 to 96 hours of getting that text? And then we started seeing that increasing, where customers were prepaying before their payment was due. And we were averaging about 32% of our customers prepaid before their due date within 72 hours of sending the text, because we would create a link to via the text to the portal where they could log in and make their payment. It's rudimentary, it's not 100% science, but we were starting to track that. But as it gets more and more involved, and as I said before, we used the IVR, we had different methods of payment for the customer. It was a little bit harder to track, but we felt comfortable, at least with our first iteration of review, that it was a successful process.
Wow, very interesting. Another question that came in from the audience, how is something like the Mini Miranda handled? Is that part of the redirection to the payment portal? Does anyone want to tackle that one?
We shortened our Mini Miranda, so it's not spelled out exactly. It's it might be missing some vowels or consonants or stuff, but it's enough to make it make sense. But basically, you know, this message is from a debt collector, and it might say MSSG. I don't have it offhand exactly what it says, but I know we shortened it. But another option is to, you can make your message longer by using two keywords, or with our technology partner, we would basically pay for two keywords and you pay for a longer text message if you absolutely don't want to shorten it and take that risk.
Another option, this is Rick, you can put the Mini Miranda as its own, what I'll call a bit.ly link, you know, real short hyperlink that links to something else. That's also pretty popular in this.
Good information. You know, we talked a little bit about the proposed rule that came up from the CFPB and, you know, sort of how it mentions and references text messaging and emails and other digital communications, and that, you know, that the final rule is still probably years away from going into effect. And we've got a couple of the panelists here that are talking about growing or sort of starting in using text messaging in a limited fashion. I'm curious if you were, if someone came up to you and said, I run a collection agency, I want to start sending text messages, what would be your advice to getting that company off the ground using that channel?
This is Matt. I would just, I would remain cautiously optimistic, and I never count my chickens before they hatch, but what I would encourage them is to, you know, basically start off like the panelists are suggesting. You either have the person initiate the text themselves in a proactive manner and make sure you have consent, make sure you have ways to revoke consent, obviously make sure you're opting in and have a way to manage them opting out so that you're not texting them again and again. But I would encourage them. I wouldn't give it a green light as far as the CFPB's proposed rule until the final rule comes out. And again, that's going to depend on whatever administration is control of the CFPB at any given moment's time, right? I mean, things can change. So not to mention some of the, you know, our crazier leaders in the Financial Services Committee and other places, but I would just remain cautiously optimistic, and I'll keep it at that.
Yeah, well said, Matt. This is Rick. Start off conservative. Get consent from your clients or your agents in the call center and text, you know, with only those folks to start out with. Give it a few weeks. Give it a month or two. Get some experience and history under your belt. Make sure your vendors, you know, are integrated properly and you can measure it and things seem, you know, happy in the call center floor and ask your staff, what are your customers, are they wanting more text? Are they wanting different kinds of text? Then, you know, keep discussions open with your vendor partners, you know, and go from there. Very low risk when you start out that way, like Matt was saying, very low risk, if not any risk at all.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, you guys have said this, the panelists have already said kind of what I was thinking, but overall, yeah, you know, get the consumer to have the consent, be it via the call, be it, you know, just, it depends. You know, for us specifically, we get a lot of the consent originally from the creditor because we're an agency. From the creditors that we work with, they have gotten that initial consent, so it helps. But I guess my biggest advice is in text messaging, it can be scarier because of the Telephone Consumer Like Protection Act litigation. And so, you know, you got to be really careful to get that consent. I guess that's my biggest concern, is that if an agency just starts texting, doesn't know, you know, the full law, it could be worrisome for them. So big word, consent.
Yeah, and if I can add one more thing, this is Rick, make sure you select vendor partners that have your back from a compliance standpoint. Someone said earlier on, what if you accidentally send out 100 messages to this phone and you just blow them up? Well, proper good vendors, you know, won't allow that. They'll not send those 100 messages out because it's an anomaly. It shouldn't happen. It's in violation theoretically or you know, possibly even. So make sure you engage the right vendors if you're going down this path.
To that point, Rick, it's interesting. One of the questions that just came in that I think maybe sort of deals with this is with regard to the panelists using text messages, are they sent update via batch mode or can they be updated in real time live to your host system?
Well, with our integration with SBT right now, it's not quite real time, although the text conversations with like my office manager, so there is two-way text also. So if we blast out a text and send out a link and the customer wants to engage with us, there's a two-way portal that SBT has where my office manager will communicate with them on a more freehand basis. My call center doesn't have that ability, but my office manager does. And then that conversation will get uploaded into that customer's account. And then the agents in the call center will be able to see that back and forth two-way right there. It works out great.
Got it. Okay. Here's one for you to start with, Raja. Given that setting up sort of an AI-based text, email, chat collection waterfall would eliminate so much overhead and risk from both an operational and compliance standpoint, how long before we see recovery strategies focusing solely on electronic communication with only exceptions being handled by live collectors? Doesn't that pretty much describe what you're doing right now?
Actually, yes, very much. I mean, we focus largely
on... Wait, did you ask that question?
Can you... Yes. Go ahead. Okay, so yeah, I mean, we largely focus on the email and text collection, because for us, the best communication has always been primarily kind of the digital or, well, digital, like text message, email, and then text messaging as like more of like a transactional communication. So we see it now. I mean, we're at least in our business model, it is the primary. We focus on emailing the customer, say initially, saying, you know, hi, you know, we have, you know, we're reaching out to you as a debt collector, and you know, we give them all information about their debt, and as they get, you know, as they prefer more and more, like, hey, you know, once you send us a text message, moving forward for certain types of communications, and we have been following, and the phone calls are only when, the only time we really phone call is when we need to get some type of confirmation that this is the correct person for the debt, and also they call us to make legitimately what we're saying. But after that, it is email communication and text message communication. So for us, that's our primary.
Does anybody else see the day when email, chat, text is going to be the overwhelmingly common communication channel, and letters and phone calls will be sort of where, you know, where text and email is today, just sort of being used in a limited fashion?
I think as soon as you start to see regulation come down that it's permitted and it's, you know, it's perfectly fine, I think you'll see agencies migrate towards that. I do think you're still going to have a certain segment of the population that for whatever reason, they want to speak to somebody, they want to get it ironed out now, or they're having problems navigating a system, or they're not familiar with, you know, technology. Especially I'm thinking in terms of older patients and stuff like that. A lot of them, the only chance they get to talk to somebody is when they're talking to somebody on the phone or they're out in public. So I think that there's a certain segment that for whatever reason, they're going to want a live body. But I think by far the majority will be towards other methods that do not involve a collector or at least a human on the phone.
You mentioned the generational. Sorry, go ahead, Bob. Go ahead.
Rick, actually, Mike. Yeah, I agree with the panel, except I'm a little bit more, I'll say, pessimistic. I think it's heading in that direction. I just personally think that it's going there in a slower fashion than maybe what the rest of the panel thinks. I totally agree. We're headed in that direction. That is going to be the primary mode of communication is, you know, via electronic channels and self-help and so forth. But I don't know. I just see it happening a lot slower than perhaps what the rest of the panel thinks. But nevertheless, it is headed in that direction. I think that's unanimous.
And just one more thing to add. I see where you're coming from. But I mean, just for our experience, I think the best thing for us using the communication via, say, email, like one instance is that it gives the consumer that option of not being you know, for us, like in debt, in collections, one can feel a little bit harassed by phone calls. And so with email, it kind of gives them like they're, you know, they'll reach out on their own time, or, you know, they get a text message. It's on their own time. And that's where I see this in moving forward is it's that flexibility and it's that ease for them.
And Raja, you're exactly right. But, you know, what happens when the thresholds are met? I love giving them the ability to do that, to respond on their own time frame. But, you know, you send out 10 emails, you send out 15 texts over the course of weeks and months, and you got nothing. You know, at some point in time, at least I think in the life cycle of that account, you got to fall back to phone call, outbound phone call.
Understood, yeah.
I would agree. I mean, text was the preference for a lot of our customers, but as it's been said before, if we weren't getting contact, the phone was picked up. And we were talking, you know, trying to get a hold of the customer, trying to get a hold of reference, whatever it might be, because that might have been their preferred on our database. But if they're not responding, that's not going to be our only avenue of trying to communicate with them.
Matt, you mentioned something during one of your answers a couple minutes ago about sort of how there's still people out there that want to talk to people on the phone in a public. Do you think that that's more generational? And as, you know, sort of more young people sort of come into the financial system and have debts that need to be collected, and as the older, you know, the older population maybe, you know, sort of, you know, goes away, do you see that dynamic changing where that, you know, the people who, you know, the younger people are going to want that sort of more automated communication?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, that's going to change as our elderly population dwindles off and, you know, we all go into the hereafter. But I think that for even my kid, I mean, if I could reach out through his online video game and say, hey, pay your bill, I'd do that. Is that going to happen tomorrow? No, but these kids are online 24/7. They're on their phone 24/7. They are always, you know, engaged in technology in some form or fashion. Like I said, I think the older generation right now, they're not as, some of them are technically savvy, but others prefer to handle things the old fashioned way, or especially when you're on some kind of phone system where you have to press 5. Now you got to press 6. Now you got to press 8. They just want to press 0 and get to a person. That's it. They just want to get to a person and handle it.
We have a question that came in. I'm curious, does anybody use texting when it comes to working with non-English speaking customers? Is that an option?
We did not.
I do not.
We did not. I mean, again, I'll fall back to the military. What we had to join the military, you have to be able to speak English, but you know, we did have a lot of references or a lot of spouses because you can consent to a spouse handling your debt while you're in the military. We didn't use it because of the translation. There's a, you know, you could write something in Spanish and I had Spanish speakers, but the translation in a written format could be totally different. So we stayed away from it.
Got it. Okay. We talked a little bit about the, you know, how to get started. If I'm not sending text messages now, how to go about, you know, where I should look to start, you know, what kind of technology or telephony investment needs to be made to deploy a text messaging platform? Is this something where there's a high barrier to entry, or is it something that can be rolled out pretty cost effectively?
This is Matt. We started out with a very, very simple and very cheap, although albeit limited, solution. It's called textedly.com. And that's where you buy your keyword and then you build your messaging into that. And that's where we started, where we would send our payment portal information. And then our dialer vendor actually had brought on the capability of texting. So we started using that as well. And then you have platforms like Solutions by Text and others that have, you know, very, very engaging platforms that you can do a lot more. But the inexpensive platform that I mentioned is very limited. I cannot send out any account specific information. I can only send the same message to everybody that I send it to.
This is Rick. To follow up on that, you can go the very inexpensive route, next to nothing startup cost, to spending thousands and thousands of dollars on integration, and probably various levels in between. If you're not doing text messaging right now, and this has piqued your curiosity, I would start maybe perhaps by visiting with your current software company, and see what type of integrations they've got. I'm a big integration guy. It's got to be integrated in some way, shape, or form, and see what your current vendors, what their recommendations are and suggestions, and perhaps start there.
I'd also recommend reaching out to Solutions by Text, www.solutionsbytext.com, and have a conversation with them. I'm sure that they have a range of options that are available to collection agencies of all shapes and sizes. Another question that's come in, can debtors text back disputes or validation requests?
This is Matt. On our side, they cannot, from what we do.
Yeah, and this is Rick. They can for us, and we would honor that validation request, just like if it came through the mail or something like that.
For us, they cannot. They would have to call or email.
Yeah, this is Bob. We did accept it because of the base of our customer base being the military, but we also would try to follow up by phone if at all possible. But we would accept it by text.
Rick, is it just a matter of sort of being overly cautious, and that's why you allow disputes by text, or is there some other factors?
We don't get a whole lot of them, to be honest with you. I think it's just kind of the customer servicey thing to do. So they'll text in a dispute or something like that. We'll provide validation, and then maybe assign it to a collector or something like that to follow up, or because just they've engaged us over text with a dispute doesn't mean it doesn't lead to a phone call, you know? But to be honest with you, Mike, the volume of disputes that we get by text is nil. I mean, maybe sure, less than 10 a month or something like that. So it's not this, you know, big workflow workforce thing. It's just more customer servicey, I guess.
Sure.
Good idea.
Hey, Mike, I have a question for Rick. Rick, I'm just curious, because you mentioned your agents have the ability to kind of chat back and forth through using text. So you have the same agents, the same collectors that are taking phone calls, that are working in ACE, and then they're also have a chat application that's going back and forth that they're able to communicate in a variety of ways, and like pause maybe their dialer campaign, but and go ahead and answer the chat box or the SMS and send a quick SMS out? Or do
No.
you have agents specific to both?
Yeah, sorry for the confusion there. No, it doesn't exactly work like that. So the agents, they have it in Interpros, they can send out just canned messages, canned text messages, like here's your balance, here's a smart link to the pay portal, here's my direct callback number, here's the information for the client we're calling on behalf, here's their phone number, contact info, and Got things it. Like that, right? And then if the person on the other end engages or wants to engage in a discussion, like, for whatever reason, can I pay in 2 weeks or ask a question or something like that, then those requests are all funneled into SBT's, what they call their two-way portal, right? And that's where I only have one person right now in my office that gets those. We get email notification and some other notification methods that someone is looking to engage in two-way text with us. Okay. And then we'll engage in that two-way text. And then once that's done, sometimes that one agent will, you know, shoot the appropriate agent a note saying, you know, I just engaged, or, you know, like some follow-up instruction or just an FYI or something like that. So the agents, no, they don't have the ability to respond, but response does take place within my company. The office manager will take care of that. And then that convo, that history, that conversation, text conversation, through SBT's API gets loaded back into InterPro. So like, let's just say the next day that agent is, you know, working accounts or whatever, they would see that conversation that took place, you know, from their customer and our office manager and follow up accordingly, either with another text or phone call or what have you.
Okay. I like the idea of the canned messages so they can't, you know, accidentally screw up and type the wrong thing in. So you have fixed messages that go out for specific situations.
That's we do. Yep. Okay. Yep. And yeah. And they're pretty much universally customizable with smart fields and smart links. You know, I mean, we can get pretty tech savvy on that subject, but you're exactly right. The agents can't be, you know, just in a crazy bad mood and send a bunch of angry emojis to a customer or something like that. Can't do that. So it would just be, yeah, canned messages.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left before we get to 2 o'clock Eastern time. And before we wrap up, what I wanted to do is maybe give each of the panelists the chance to offer any parting thoughts, any key takeaways, maybe mention something they forgot, you know, didn't get a chance to mention earlier in the discussion, but wanted to leave people with before we head off to the rest of our days, or sort of any sort of parting words of wisdom, if you don't mind. Roger, would you mind going first?
Yeah, sure. You know, as I've discussed here, it's for us, the high level is always give the consumers what they want. And that's how we communicate. So, you know, as we've spoken a lot, it's always about simply, we have to go with the age and the time. And there's this day of age, there's the new type of users, which is all, you know, they're always on their phone, and text messaging really helps with those kind of users compared to maybe a decade ago. I think if a company wants to start doing text messaging, develop a strategy, understand the content, and internally, you know, figure out the best way to get to understand that performance, be it text message, email, calls. So just build it out. It's worth it.
This is Matt. I'll just say, you know, 20 years ago, I know we were on a dialer, and we still had people 5 years after that fact that said, you know, no, I'm not going to use a dialer. My agents can do better than a dialer. And I would just encourage you and your operations managers to look at the more methods that you give a patient to communicate with you and pay you in a way that's in a convenient manner and a time that's convenient to them, the more you are going to see results on your end, and you don't want to get left behind. Don't be the last guy out there that's their clients are choosing another collection agency because they have the better methods and the better results.
Yeah, this is Bob Davis. I'm coming from a first-party perspective because I'm working on the first-party side. So everything's been discussed today. You know, you have to be conservative when you start. You have to know your database. You have to know your customers. You have to know your agreements, everything involved with that. But from a first-party perspective, I use it also as a reminder. These customers were not delinquent. You get reminders from your credit card companies. You get reminders from your utility companies when your payment's going to become due. We use it heavily as just reminding customers of upcoming payments, and that increases your cash flow sooner than your actual due date. And as I said before, 32% of our customers pay before their due date, which means it increased our cash flow within our organization. So yes, you can use it for, I use it for delinquency, I use it for, you know, all types of collections, but I also use it, you know, similar to other companies are doing, to also increase our cash flow from a first party perspective.
This is Rick. I like what Raja said there in closing regarding, you know, jumping into the texting strategy. Build it out. It's worth it. I got to underscore that. He is spot on with that. Hope everybody really takes a hard look into setting this up or expanding it. If you've dipped your toe into the pool, expand it. Do some cool stuff with text messaging. Like he said also, you know, folks want it. They really do. So good luck to everyone. SBT has been a terrific partner of ours, and would definitely encourage you guys reaching out.
If you build it, they will contact you. I guess maybe it's to steal, to make a joke.
Well done, Mike. Well done, yeah.
Before I let everybody go, I want to thank Matt, Roger, Bob, and Rick for their time and insights today. Really appreciate them sharing such great information about a topic that is sure to be getting a lot of attention in the coming days, weeks, and months. I also want to thank Solutions by Text again for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.solutionsbytext to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who participated and asked questions. A final reminder to please take a minute and fill out the feedback survey either when you log off today or when you get the email tomorrow. Really would appreciate that. Thanks to everybody for participating, and be sure to stay tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the near future. Panel, awesome job. Thank you very much today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Yeah, thanks. Good day. Bye.
All right.